This is an ABC podcast.
Hello, Avani Dias here. This is the Hack Podcast, and we're going to be talking about all the big stories from the week, like young people turning away from Facebook and Instagram after the revelations about the company, vaccine passports as we open up, and being spiritual but not religious. Here's what's coming up.
Hack. Wanting to be skinnier, that mainly revolved around Instagram.
It needs to be clear to the public when we aren't providing proof of vaccination is what is this being used for?
Growing up, we kind of just knew we were witches.
On Triple J.
We've got two great guests with us as well. Christian Wilkins is here, model, influencer. I feel like every time you come on the show, Christian, I've got like a new title for you. What is it this time?
Local bread baker.
I think you said like conceived at the Logies once.
Yeah.
That was good.
Sonia Kruger impersonator.
Oh yeah, I like that. Maybe we can get that going. We're also with Bodzilla, who is also known as April. She's a body love activist, model and podcaster. How's it going?
Hi, it's good. How are you?
Good. Let's get into the show.
Hack. Facebook has realized that if they change the algorithm to be safer, people will spend less time on the site, they'll make less money.
On Triple J.
Could you quit all apps owned by Facebook, including Instagram and WhatsApp? On Hack this year, we've heard from thousands of listeners who've told us how social media affects their eating disorder or how they feel about their body. And Instagram is the worst platform for problematic content. This week, a Facebook employee spoke out and leaked documents saying they knew their platform was directing young women to eating disorders, but the company is accused of doing nothing about it. It's accused of putting profit over safety. Lots of big revelations came out, and people are saying, is this the end of this company? Call me. Could you quit social media like Facebook and Instagram? Maybe you've already done that. 1-300-055-36. Call me.
Hack. Facebook has repeatedly misled the public about what its own research reveals about the safety of children, the efficacy of its artificial intelligence systems, and its role in spreading divisive and extreme messages.
It looks very bad for Facebook. A lot of people throughout the hearing were comparing this to the big tobacco hearing.
And like so many young Australians who've had an eating disorder, social media played a huge part in her illness.
That mainly revolved around Instagram, and everyone was just striving for that perfect photo.
So Facebook knows that they are leading young users to anorexia content. It's just like cigarettes. Teenagers don't have good self-regulation.
I think that would probably make a lot of people feel vindicated, not feel like it's their own fault that, you know, they've been caught in like this body image spiral.
The company's leadership knows how to make Facebook and Instagram safer, but won't make the necessary changes because they have put their astronomical profits before people.
On Triple J.
Yeah, call me. Could you quit social media or have you done it already? 1-300-055-36. Bodzilla, keen to go to you first because you work a lot in this space trying to, I guess, promote positive body images and so on. How do you feel about especially Instagram as a place for making people feel bad about their bodies?
I mean, there's no secret that there's so many body positive accounts popping up to combat the amount of, for want of a better term, negative body accounts that exist. So when we think about people like, whether it's like Janae Mercer or someone like myself, Naomi Nicholas Williams, people who have been actively speaking out against diet culture and things like that, there's no surprises for me around these findings that Instagram are aware of what they're doing and almost to the point where they're actively doing it, you know, to make sure that they continue this really toxic cycle. I think it's human nature to want to validate yourself against other people that you see around you, and social media has allowed us to do that against people who admit themselves they don't actually exist in the real world like that because Photoshop filters and other things exist.
Sure. Christian, you're obviously very prolific on Instagram. What do you see on your feed? Does it ever make you feel bad about yourself?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this topic actually feels very topical for me because just yesterday, for the first time, I went and saw a body image-based psychologist because I feel like being trapped at home for so long, we are kind of getting used to just seeing these hyper unrealistic images of people, and we're forgetting that that's not the reality. You know, that really is the 1%, and a normal body isn't the things that we see on Instagram. And I think it's very difficult to not compare ourselves to this. And, you know, personally, I almost get even more down on myself that I feel like I'm achieving things with my work, with my life, with everything else. And yet body image seems to be my one big kind of bastion that I can't get over.
It's really hard. And, you know, hearing from Triple J listeners this year on this topic, it's clear this is just something across the board. Everyone feels it to some degree. And Instagram just seems so toxic. Hayden, you've actually gotten off social media. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I decided to get off because I thought it was just taking up too much time. And then when I did, I actually got some weird side effects. I realized I was eating better and I was sleeping a lot better too because I wasn't really scrolling in bed, which was cool.
Yeah, why did you decide to get off?
It was just taking up too much time. Like, I was at uni and work, and one of those terrible people would just flip open my phone, start looking at it, and then all of a sudden half an hour was going by. But then when I got off it, I realized my attention span is much better.
Hayden, it's really interesting because, I mean, all of us use these platforms so much. I mean, there's obviously plenty of people like you who've gotten off it, but the vast majority are on these platforms. Do you ever feel isolated now that you're not on social media? Do you feel like you're missing out on anything?
Yeah, well, not only do I feel like it, I have missed out on being, not being invited to parties and things like that. People say you're not on Facebook, but I think you just got to make a bit of a concerted effort to reach out to people, which feels weird because you're trying to say, hey, I'm off Facebook.
Totally.
Not trying to make a thing of it, but still trying to get invited places, yeah.
I think we need to get back to, like, paper invites, you know, like primary school days. Hayden, thanks so much for calling in. I'm keen to hear from both of you, Bodzilla and Christian, about using social media in your work. I've got to use it for my work. It's a big part of it. But both of you, your like whole industry is based on social media. Bodzilla, what would happen if you got rid of it in your life?
I mean, that outage the other day, I was like, wow, what is going to happen now? I didn't know how long it was going to last. I was like, oh, something I was supposed to post at 9 o'clock. I guess I'll just wait for it to come back. And so I think, you know, there's been a lot of advice from creators out there this week to say that was a really good reminder from the universe to say, hey, you need to diversify the ways that you stay in touch with the people that want to know about whatever it is that you do. And I think that that's true. But I also think that, you know, what Hayden was saying then about almost detoxing from social media, it's just like, you know, obviously we've got quite a lot of sober curious people who are sharing their stories online. And I think it's very comparable in terms of how addictive it is in comparison to something like alcohol. And also the idea that not doing it makes you a little bit weird. And so it would feel really strange, even personally, if I completely, you know, if I didn't, you know, stay doing what I'm doing now on Instagram, but I just want to use it personally, people would be like, why though? And want you to explain to them why they don't use social media.
Yeah, it's like those weird things. It's like, why do we question when people don't drink at a party? Why should we question when they're not on social media? It just seems like we should let people live with those choices. Christian, obviously this week, like all these revelations, people are saying, is this the end for this company, Facebook, which also owns Instagram? Do you feel like this is one step too far for the public, the stuff that's come out?
Look, I mean, I think it's no one's really going to be surprised to hear how damaging it is.
Yeah.
I think what really was surprising was the fact that they always knew and that they were almost kind of leaning into it in the idea to try and make profits from it. And I appreciate that it's a business, but I do think that that has really upset a lot of people. But I also feel like social media is kind of a bit like a hydra. You can try and chop off one head, but another one will arise. There'll be another tick book or whatever the hell they're called these days. And, you know, I think that it will be ever evolving. I think that we just need to work on making it a safer platform for all of us, regardless of age or gender.
Heaps of texts coming in on this. Someone says Facebook is like all other giant companies. They'll just wait for the issue to fade and people will move on. Someone else, Facebook has already had massive privacy scandals, body type promotion issues in the past. They're still here, so I don't expect this will hurt in the long run. Rianne, you've also quit social media. How did you feel about everything that's come out this week around Facebook as a company, that they knew about so many problems? Do you feel vindicated?
Yeah, I feel quite proud actually, because I've been off the, well, end of the year, it'll be 3 years. So mine was due to, I had postnatal depression after my second baby and just felt that Facebook and everything that I was seeing on Facebook and Instagram just was feeding how I was feeling. So I just decided to cut it out of my life, and I've honestly never been happier. Like, don't have to worry about seeing the same ads and the same things every day, and seeing people that I used to see on Facebook in public, now it's like catching up with someone you haven't seen in 10 years. So it's really nice to have information to share with people and get back to how it used to be when I was younger.
Yeah, that's really nice.
Facebook. Yeah.
Cool. Rianne, thanks so much for calling in. I appreciate it. Bodzilla, the interesting thing about Facebook, right, because I think Instagram is where this company retains young people. And I haven't heard much from young people that they're actually going to get rid of Instagram despite all the problems. People still feel connected. But do you feel like Facebook is aging out?
Absolutely. I was just thinking that as Rianne was saying about disconnecting it, being able to have a conversation with someone where they don't go, oh, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
As soon as you tell them something, you're like, oh, all right, well, never mind, see you.
Yeah.
But I think I would easily shut down my Facebook tomorrow if it didn't mean uncoupling it, which is exactly what they want. It's got its hooks into all of the different things that you use online to run,
true,
whether it's a business page or things like that. I would literally deactivate my Facebook tomorrow without any kind of regret, except for the fact that they've made it deliberately really difficult and annoying. So I just maintain it and post on it once every month.
I thought that we all just kept Facebook to find out each other's birthdays and stuff these days.
Oh, it is actually good for that. Like, I forget everyone's birthdays.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah, that's probably the other reason. Oh, and to make sure that you can find out what your aunties are up to when they update every single day, like multiple times a day, about the dog or whatever it is.
Also to look at really old photos of people, because, like, some people had it for, like, 10 years and you're like, oh, what do they look like in high school or whatever, like when they were a kid. Like, you can see some pretty revealing stuff. But to be honest, like, I think that people in high school probably won't even be getting Facebook, you know? It just seems like a really foreign concept for a lot of young people. Christian, before we move on to the next topic, I mean, what is your advice for people who are really struggling with body image, feeling like they can't let go of something like Instagram, but really struggling at the same time?
I would definitely advise taking a break from it. If it makes you feel odd or different, realize that it doesn't at all. And I appreciate that they're hard feelings to kind of accept. And if you're really in a place like I have done, reach out to someone professional, because these are really real issues. And I think it's very easy to pass them off as very common and not real, because you might be, you know, I'm 26 and I'm a man, and I feel like these issues are often targeted towards younger females, but you can still suffer from anxiety and depression with your body. And if you do, talk to someone about it.
Yeah. And if you do need help, the Butterfly Foundation is always there. You can reach them online. Yeah. Lots of people getting in touch on this. Facebook is like eating white bread. Nothing in it is good for you. Corporate sellout. You are listening to Hack. I'm Avani Dias. We're joined by Christian Wilkins as well as Bodzilla. Let's talk about vaccine passports. Hack.
I've had requests on LinkedIn and Twitter asking for fake passports.
On Triple J. We're about to see what it's like to live with COVID in Australia. The first state to open up with cases with 70% double dose will be New South Wales on Monday, and it'll be a test case for how this will all work around the country. There are some medical warnings. Hospitals could get overwhelmed if things aren't done properly. And one part of making this all safe in some states will be vaccine passports. So checking whether you've had the jab before you enter events and venues. But it's a really divisive issue. Obviously, the health advice is you must get vaccinated to keep the community safe. But people are conflicted about whether we should have to show that information when entering an establishment. Call me. How do you feel about having to show your proof of vaccination? Maybe you'll be someone working on the front line who'll have to check that. Maybe in hospitality. We'd love to hear from you. 1-300-055-536. Call me.
Pack. Some poor staff member at a restaurant, and they have to kind of look at this piece of paper and squint at the coat of arms and hope that it's a legitimate certificate.
They have an obligation to their employees and other people in their premises to occupational health and safety. So they've got to be protective of their workers and protective of other people.
Any 9-year-old with Photoshop could put their name onto somebody else's certificate and nobody would ever know the difference.
We shouldn't be asking individual businesses to be policing it.
We don't ask someone when they roll in if they've got a working children's check. We don't ask people if they've had their flu shot, if they've had their MMR shot, or if you had your HIV test done. How are you allowed to ask someone if they've had this done?
There's already been cases where police have requested access to check-in data for the purposes of criminal investigations. It needs to be clear to the public when we are checking in or where we are providing proof of vaccination. Is what is this being used for? Where does that data go?
On Triple J.
Let's talk to Daniel from Victoria, who's called in, where, yeah, cases have been really bad today. A new record in Australia. And vaccine passports are going to be trialled in Victoria from Monday as well. How are you feeling about the concept, Daniel? You're a doctor?
Yeah, I'm an emergency doctor. I work in Victoria. So I've been thinking a bit about the vaccine passport thing, and I guess in terms of ethically, whether you agree with it or not, I've been more thinking of it in terms of a practical sense and, like, how will it actually benefit the community? And I guess what I've come up with is the vaccine passport, it only really makes sense as a short-term measure. The reason I say that is because, you know, initially, like in the months gone by, we've had three groups of people, right? We've had people who are eligible for vaccines and wanted to get vaccinated, so they've gotten vaccinated. We've had people who had willingly chosen not to get vaccinated despite being eligible, but we still had a portion in the middle who were waiting to get vaccinated because they weren't eligible yet. So, for example, the under 40-year-old age group. So I think the vaccine passports, they only really make sense in the short term because now we only have two groups because, or very similarly have two groups because the people who want to get vaccinated will all be able to. So all those young people that have been waiting for vaccines will have had the opportunity to be vaccinated. So at that point, the only people that really pose a risk to the healthcare system are those unvaccinated people because, as we know, the vaccinated part of our community doesn't really get that sick, or if they do, it's a very small proportion. But once those people who are unvaccinated start to catch COVID, which will invariably happen as we open up, they will then have their own level of immunity from actually catching COVID.
Right.
So the benefits of a vaccine passport, they're only really in that initial phase when we start opening up and then those unvaccinated people are starting to, you know, catch COVID and put burden on the healthcare system.
Right.
So I just can't see how in the long term it really is going to make any difference.
Daniel, a lot of people's argument against this, even people who are totally pro-vax, is, well, I don't need to show my medical information to get into any other situation. What do you think about that argument as a doctor when obviously, you know, making sure people are vaccinated is a big part of stopping the spread?
Yeah, well, I guess, as I said, I think definitely at the moment it's like it definitely makes sense because you've still got a portion of the younger, like the under 40s in the community that really want to be vaccinated but just haven't been able to get an appointment yet. So I think while they're still waiting to be vaccinated, you've definitely got a really good incentive there. But I guess once everyone's had the opportunity to be vaccinated, it's a bit of a different situation because, like, if you imagine a pub, you've got people there who are vaccinated and then you've got people who are unvaccinated. But all the unvaccinated people are people who've made that choice,
yeah,
you know, knowing that they don't want to. So yes, they could pass COVID on to someone, but the only people they're going to pass it to are people who are vaccinated who aren't really going to get sick.
Yeah.
Or they'll pass it on to other unvaccinated people who have also made the choice that they've decided they'd rather take the chances against COVID than have a vaccine.
Yeah, so what you're obviously saying is...
in the healthcare system, we basically have people all the time that are making, you know, decisions which we think are, you know, not very smart, which are bad for their health. But I guess it's just a part of life, you know. We have to accept that people are going to, it's a free country, people will make poor decisions.
That's true. And I think we've seen, like, you know, hit or misses throughout the pandemic. And this is an interesting one, but a divisive one. Daniel, thank you so much for sharing all your thoughts there and also for your work throughout the pandemic. I can imagine it's been really hectic in Victoria as well. Bodzilla, how do you feel about showing your vaccine certificate? Are you okay with it?
I'm okay with it myself because I got my second jab today and I'm pro-vax.
Woo.
So I'm fine with it in terms of, you know, as Daniel quite rightly said, it's a short-term solution to be able to vet people in terms of, you know, minimising risk for a short period of time. However, what I am concerned about as a former bar staff, as a former, you know, retail frontline worker, is how belligerent people can be when they are being asked to do something they don't want to do by someone they have no respect for, which is most retail and frontline hospitality workers. And so I think from my point of view, my issue is that they need to make sure that if this is something, if businesses are going to really put this into place in terms of a right to refuse service or things like that, that they need to give their employees an out to say, you're not responsible for anything. You know, if someone who's unvaccinated says, yeah, I'm vaccinated, and they either show their proof or they don't, that's the end of the conversation.
Totally.
for those at-risk workers who are already in a very vulnerable position having to deal with the public and potentially catch it themselves.
Yeah, Courtney from Wagga's texted to that effect. I work in retail and I'm having to do an aggressive and abusive customer training session in preparation for Monday. That's so crazy.
That's
Christian,
horrible.
Yeah, I know. It's just like, gosh, it's going to be intense because a lot of those workers will be young workers as well, as every place opens up that those people are going to be on the front line. Christian, the thing that is worrying for a lot of people is that these vaccine proofs could be connected to check-in apps, which we've all been using throughout the pandemic. It's a big part of, you know, the COVID response. But we've heard about police tracking check-in locations, that information potentially spreading. How do you feel about the idea that your medical information could be leaked? And what should the government do to make it kind of foolproof?
Oh, look, to be honest, I think that's an upsetting thought, and I don't think that anyone would particularly like that. But, you know, my understanding is really that this is kind of the way of the future, at least for the foreseeable future. And if you do want to go out and participate in things, this is something that is a requirement. And because of that, I think that we kind of need to accept it. And I think we should probably all collectively agree that if you don't have a vaccine passport and you do go out on purpose to a venue that you need one as a requirement and you try and cause trouble, you are just a bit of a knob.
Jen from Coffs Harbour texted, we have speed limits, driver's licenses, people speed and drink, drive and drive without a current license. Those measures are harm reduction, not foolproof. Catherine in Sydney, you own a small business. How are you feeling about the vaccine passports?
Very mixed feelings. Obviously, I want to keep my customers safe and the community safe and do the right thing. I'm vaccinated and I'm happy to show it. But I have had a little bit of backlash from some people recently. I've had a phone call and actually Google review kind of targeting my business, saying that I'm discriminating and it's a bit disappointing. Yeah, so it's mixed feelings. And obviously the way that I need to be open, it's been a very tough lockdown and, obviously I want to maximise the customers in store and the sales, but yeah, keeping in mind that obviously I want to do the right thing and keep my customers safe.
Yeah, it's so tough. What kind of business do you own, Catherine?
So it's a retail store. So it sells a mixture of clothing, gifts, homewares.
Yeah. And in terms of the passports, I mean, what would make it easier for you and your staff to feel like you are protected while keeping your customers safe? Is there anything? You're like, eradicate COVID, get rid of it altogether.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah. I'm not sure. Obviously, just trying to, if there is any issues directly in person, trying to just de-escalate it and kind of just, I've, on my sign on my door, I've referred back to the health page saying that this is why we're following this. And the lady that I spoke to today on the phone, I just kind of expressed that, it's more of a financial decision to kind of follow this as well as, doing the right thing, because I want to be able to be open
Yeah, I think it's a good message as well, just to everyone, don't be a knob, as Christian says. hopefully people are hearing this and being like, okay, I can follow those rules despite my views on whatever this situation is. Catherine?
Yeah, there's two sides to the story. I completely understand that, I've got friends that choose not to be vaccinated. I'm vaccinated myself, but coming from my, and obviously a lot of other retail businesses and small businesses, it's been a tough lockdown and we just want to be open.
This
is the way that we can be open.
Yeah, and the way is obviously...
Also, they're not rules that you're creating, and it's not as though you are at fault for any of these things. And for people to go ahead and blame the business owners who really are just trying to make back the business that they've lost after months of lockdown, I mean, that's ridiculous.
Totally. Yeah. Catherine, thanks so much for calling in and good luck as you open up as well. I hope it goes okay. So many people are texting. Someone says, I work for a bus company and our drivers are being spat on for asking passengers to wear a mask as it is. I think the idea of a vax passport makes sense in theory, but will be a minefield in practice. Someone else, totally fine with showing my vax certificate. I'm proud to be vaccinated to protect my parents and 2-year-old son. And yeah, that's right. It's vaccines that'll get us out of this. And hopefully that'll lead to the safer opening up in the coming months around the country.
Hack. I started to sort of create my own practice of rituals with incense, journaling and manifesting things.
On Triple J.
All right, this week has been the biggest conference of Catholic churches in Australia in decades. It's called the Plenary Council, and one of the talking points has been how they become more relevant to young people, especially among all the controversies. Stats show our generation is moving away from mainstream religion, but we're still spiritual. We've been talking to people who identify as witches as well. They're believing in things like spells and magic. It's just one form of the niche kind of things people are latching onto. Call me, are you spiritual but not religious? Maybe you've moved away from religion. 1-300-055-36. Bodzilla, how do you feel about religion? Are you spiritual in any way?
I'm definitely on the witchy side of TikTok. I grew up in a place where there was quite a lot of mainstream Christian beliefs, and I think that for a lot of people, especially people my age, 36, I saw the movie The Craft and went, that's where I'm going, because it's where all of the weirdos could kind of get together and have something in common. And I think, not unlike the topic of social media that we already talked about, the idea of having a community of people who are a bit like you, even if they're not exactly the same, feels validating and makes you feel safe and like there are other people that get where you're coming from. So I think spirituality, whether we want to call it being a witch or whether we want to just say, you know, I'm spiritual, whatever it is, there is something about that that feels like believing in a higher power, understanding that we don't have control over everything, but relying on a kind of an optimism that can't be tangible in any way.
Yeah, Christian, why do you think it is young people are moving away from mainstream religion and latching on to spirituality?
I think that we're seeing a lot of images come out recently of very extremist Christian views. I know just looking at the photos from the Capitol protest and rage, you know, there were multiple people holding up signs with the various things that God apparently hates, one of which is fags, one of which I personally am very proud to be. And I think that it's fair enough that you were seeing those images and you're thinking, that doesn't reflect me, that doesn't reflect my ethics or who I am as a person or my faith. And I think it's, you know, really natural for people in this time to kind of turn towards something that is very focused on Mother Nature and has always been very kind of grounded in female empowerment.
Do you feel like there's anything, for example, the Catholic Church can do? There's this discussion happening this week about how they can stay relevant. Would there be anything they could do to make it appealing to you, Christian?
Look, probably not personally. I mean, I think the whole thing with George Pell when he was sort of first accused and then moved to the Vatican, I mean, I've definitely oversimplified the whole matter, and I apologize for that. But, you know, I think that that was a very big sort of mark for a lot of people where they were just like, whoa, not on. Like, these allegations and these things that have come out and for you to just try and sweep them under the rug and to take him over there was a very big misstep.
And obviously, you know, he was convicted, but has now all those charges have been dropped and you know, he's free. But Maddie, you're a Catholic. How are you feeling about that as a young person?
Yeah, so I was baptized and I've done all my sacraments, but so I'm leaning more towards spiritual, at the moment. So I'm still both, but I'm just incorporating, like, it's basically my own version of spirituality at the moment, and I know a lot of friends,
Like a hybrid. What do you think is moving you away from Catholicism?
Well, I think it's just nothing in particular, just me. So I've just, it's kind of made my own religion, really. Not, it's like, I still believe in God and everything, but more towards, like, just spiritual and little rituals and, yeah, I think it's just all my friends are doing that as well. Like, I've went to Catholic schools and they all, are doing the same thing. I know a lot of people,
Yeah, I think that's really relevant, and a lot of people are very similar to you, Maddie. A lot of young people especially are, finding their own version of this kind of religion. And, hey, if you do want to listen to more on this kind of thing, the Religion and Ethics podcast has been doing some awesome work on the Catholic Church Conference and its relevance and so on. But that's all we've got time for on the show. Bodzilla, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And Christian, thank you as always.
No, thank you so much. I always wanted to start my own religion, but sadly Christianity was taken.
Christianity It's gone. We can all worship you, though, if you want. It's fine.
Sure.
Yeah.
Wilkinism. I'm about it.
Hack on Triple J.
That was Bodzilla, who is a body image activist, as well as Christian Wilkins, who is a model. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Hack. I'll catch you next time.